Good morning. Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. And we are glad to be here. Glad to hear about Daniel and the devotions. And certainly he inspired me many times. Just read that story this morning early. Brother George read and also enjoyed the continued study of Balaam and so many things we could think about and in relation to Balaam. And but he knew what he wanted, but he was so woefully inadequate, and he wanted to die the death of the righteous. And so don't we all want to die the death of the righteous? And so looking forward to that time. I would like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And there's a phrase there caught my attention this week, especially since Ella died and since Ornan died, especially yesterday. Brother Ornan had another sermon prepared for this morning, and that just didn't seem to quite fit the morning, so you'll have to take a little bit of go along with me, and I'm not sure if all this one makes sense, but I was thinking about the phrase in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, where it says, "For our light affliction is what but for a moment worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." For our light affliction worketh in us, is the title of the message this morning. For our light affliction worketh in us. We're affected by those around us, and especially when they pass, when they die. And Ella sat there, and she heard many sermons from various people, and she was always there in the middle of the church. She didn't comment a lot, but she was always there, and on a Sunday morning, and we realized that it's going to be different now. She was one of the charter members of this church, and she was listed as with a number of us. There's not many of us left anymore that were listed as charter members, but Sister Ella was one of them. And she was attending church faithfully as much as she could up until the end. Brother Ornan was on the committee that helped form this church, like Connor said, back in 1988. And he made many trips here, preached for us many times. And then he took, with him being father of Stuart, he came here many times to see Stuart after that. But Brother Ornan was ordained as a very young man. And he was soon elected to the board and on the Rod and Staff Board, served there faithfully many, many years, and Brother Ornan definitely looked at things that were not seen. He served in the kingdom of God, and we're here to attempt to preach this sermon in sort of a tribute to those two. Let's read from 2 Corinthians 4 now, the text into 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath wrought unto, given unto us this earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." We will stop reading there. One of the things I forgot to mention about Brother Ornan is that I believe there's only one of the bishops that were here in 1988 that is still alive, and that's Brother David Van Pelt. Brother Ornan, Brother Merlin Bender, Jesse Neuenswander, and David Weddle have all passed on to their number one, affliction on this earth is but for a moment, but it worketh in us. It worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Affliction worketh in us. It prepares us for glory. It says that it's but for a moment. Life is filled with moments, but we mostly enjoy our moments. We have a nice time in life, and we enjoy our moments that God has given us. They seem so cheap and plentiful. We have another moment. We can do what we want to. We think we have more time. It seems like, as a young person, that you had an endless supply of moments. I remember that, thinking that you can accomplish about anything in life. You just need to apply yourself. And there was an endless supply of moments. And you're 25 years old, and being 75 was a long ways down the road. There were many moments that we would have. But alas, we turn 70. We turn 75. And we have moments like we're at this morning, where a moment of disappointment, like the passing of a dear sister and the passing of a saint, leader in the church, causes us contemplation. We need to think. We need to think. And we need to choose between life and eternity. We need to choose between the glories of this world and the glory that shall be revealed in us. And I ask you this morning to contemplate this choice. Think about your life. Think about the seriousness of this moment in relation to eternity. The Bible says here that this moment of affliction needs to work in us. It does something. It works in us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. It causes us to choose this affliction. Where did Ella go? Where did Ornan go? Where are they? They lived in these moments, these for years, and they made a choice. And today I'm calling you to make a choice. Everybody under the sound of my voice needs to make a choice today, this moment. This moment of affliction worketh in us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. Somehow, we as Christians can raise our eyes above the things, the tractors, the pickups, the businesses, the buildings, the farms. And we look and we can see things which are not seen. Now that might not make a lot of sense to you, but we can see, the Bible says that we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. So we want to this morning to lift our eyes off the temporal, like I said, the cows, the tractors, the buildings, the businesses, and look at things that really matter. I was putting this together this morning, and I just had to think, does God control each moment? Is this moment a God-controlled moment right now at 11 o'clock on March 23, 2025? Psalms 147 says that he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of stars. He calleth them all by names, Orion, Pleiades, whatever the names of the stars are. He has, if there's 40 billion stars, he has 40 billion names. If there's however many stars there is, he has that many names. Then the next verse says, great is our Lord and great power. His understanding is infinite. Infinite. Infinite power. We talk about power in terms of horsepower. We talk about it in volts and amps and all those kind of things. But our Lord's understanding is infinite. And he is the one that heals your broken heart and bindeth up your wounds. That's a precious thought to me. That God sees every moment. He understands all about me. He understands what I'm going through right now. And he has a purpose in mind. For the Hearst family, he has a purpose. For the Bauman family, he has a purpose. For the Good family, whose dad and granddad is going to be buried tomorrow, he has a purpose. And he will not, he's infinite in his understanding of that moment, and he has a purpose for each moment. When Joseph was thrown into a pit, you know, he looked up, and I believe he said, God, you must have a purpose. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, like we heard this morning, God, I'm going with your plan, and I understand your purpose, and if those lions obliterate me and chew me up, I'm going to get chewed up. But it says in that amazing passage of scripture that God, Daniel said that God shut up the lion's mouths. I wonder how Daniel knew that. Did he see angels come down and clamp the lion's mouth shut? I'm not sure. But nevertheless, this morning, God has this moment under control for your life. And there is an interconnectedness and a connectedness with this moment to your future. That's why God allows affliction to happen. Why does, you know, I've always been interested in the subject of why does bad things happen to good people? Well, one of the reasons, as the scripture tells us, is right here. That the afflictions causes us to look for eternity. And dear ones, I want to say it again. There are no minutes that God leaves spinning out of control. These moments of affliction pry us loose from the chains of the earth that hold us down so much. So I ask you, everyone sitting here, can we let this moment, God control this moment? No matter what it is. We all have such severe disappointments. Eventually, life, you know, our bodies are disintegrating. Look at that later. But Malachi says some very interesting things. And he says, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him that feared the Lord, that thought upon his name. What a story that is. What an astounding thought that is. Before God, before the infinite creator, is a book that has Joe Weaver's name in it, has every one of your names in it. And it's a book of remembrance. And it's written for them that feared the Lord. God knows about your life. He understands your life. Many of us have had severe disappointments in life. I remember one time I counseled a young man that had a severe disappointment in a breakup in his courtship, and he was so distraught. And I told him, I said, I don't understand this moment either. It seemed like it wasn't the right thing. But I said, someday you'll understand. And that someday for him is right now. He understands. God has blessed him in marvelous ways. Psalm 56 in verse 8 says, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into the bottle. Are they not in thy book? Imagine that picture. God collecting your tears and putting them in a bottle. Isn't that precious? That he takes your tears and puts them in a bottle and he writes it down in a book. For our light affliction worketh in us, and it's only for a moment. Earth is where our body perishes. The inner man is renovated day by day, as we read, is renewed day by day. Earth is temporal and fleeting. Everything we see is going to pass away. Every car in the parking lot is going to rust away. Every piece of cloth is going to decay. Every freestall barn you build is going to go away. Every business someday will go away. And the truth is that everybody sitting here is going to die. Everyone. I used to think that was a long ways off. But alas, I believe it's soon to be. Affliction worketh in us to make us choose between things of this life and things of eternity that don't, you can't see. They're the unshakable. Earth is temporal and fleeting. Heaven's eternal. Earth is a place of mortality. Heaven is a place of life. Earth is a place of dissolving tabernacles, we read. Heaven is a place of a house not made with hands. As long as we are in this body, we have this flesh and blood. 2 Corinthians said, we got a problem. We're absent from the Lord. Flesh and blood keeps us from knowing and seeing the Lord in his fullness. Affliction worketh for us. This moment of affliction is for our eternal good. Number two, we that are in this tabernacle do groan. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4. Being burdened, we do groan. The earth is a place of failing health. Heaven is a place of unfailing health. Earth is a place where the prognosis is bad. We're all headed toward death. Heaven is a place where the prognosis is always good. Psalmist says, my flesh and heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart. Over there is no medical procedures that fail. No heart transplants or liver transplants or chemotherapy for cancer. No bypass surgery like Brother Ornan was planning to have tomorrow. But bodies eternal. Philippians 3:21 says that when Jesus will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to whereby he is able to even subdue all things unto himself. Today, you can look forward to the glorious body. A glorious, glorified body like Jesus. And our vile body will all be gone. The vile body is earthly. It's going to rot away. It's going to grow into the grave. It's going to decay. But when we get to heaven, we'll have this glorious body like Jesus'. Where there's no blood pressure medicine, no pain medicine. It is a place of eternal health care without Medicaid or staggering hospital bills. It is true that we that are in this body are groaning. We are groaning. Number three. For we know that if our earthly house, in chapter 5 and verse 1, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we will inherit and inhabit a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. our body will be dissolved here. The psalmist says, where the wicked cease from troubling and the weary be at rest. Are you weary? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In that house not made with hands, there will be no security breaches. There will be no searches. No medical detectors, no passwords, no video surveillance, no identity theft, no need for morphine or pain medicine, no terrorist attacks, no wars, no crime. No nasty accusations. It will be great. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we will have a house not made with hands. Fourthly, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 5. Mortality is swallowed up of life. Mortality is swallowed up of life. Our bodies are mortal. We die. But over there, our mortality shall be swallowed of life. There no longer, there will be a perfect environment. Isaiah says, there shall not hunger nor thirst. And there will be springs of living waters. Will he guide them? Will he guide them? No hunger, no thirst. No corroded wires, no rusted out cars, no break-ins. No global warming, no climate change, no decays, no decaying. Furthermore, it will be a place where we don't need to take behavior modification drugs. It says, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. No emotional stress. No rejection by people. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In the presence is fullness of joy. Where God's at God's right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. We have good times here, some family and friends and church friends and church brothers and sisters. But we always go home. There's always another day that's pressing. And the cares of that day tend to bring us down. But when we go there to that, when mortality is swallowed up in life, it will never come to an end. Number five, similar point. While we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We build our business here. We accumulate our money. Preserve our capital and investments. We do all those things to make everything good. We take vitamins. We take all those things so we live a long time. We eat the right kind of food. We fail to realize this simple truth so many times, that flesh and blood will keep us absent from the Lord. Heaven is a place of innocence. Except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Are you innocent this morning? The sermon I was going to preach this morning was on justification by faith. And what that means is that we, when we have faith in Jesus' work, we become innocent. Innocent. Are you trusting Jesus and letting go of your sin? Heaven is for children and those of childlike faith. Every child, the Bible says, has his name written in the book of life. Is that meaningful to you? Number six, God hath given us this earnest of his Spirit. This is a very interesting part of the sermon to me, but I won't labor on it long. The Christian is not alone in this world. You have the Holy Spirit. And more than that, you have, through the Holy Spirit, you have the intercessory work of Jesus Christ. And more than that, you have angels sent to minister to you. He sends forth angels to minister to the heirs of salvation. I often wondered where my angel is, or where, how close they are. Is this room full of angels? Probably is. He was with Daniel when he shut the lion's mouths. Angels were there. Angels were with Peter. He was sleeping there in the prison. And the angel came up beside Peter. And he said, "Get up, Peter." And his chains fell off. Psalm 34 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." Psalm 91 says that he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. What a resource today is what God has given us through his Holy Spirit. Finally, final point of the message this morning is we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. What could they be? Did a little research on that. Well, you go to Hebrews 12 and verse 23, it says that our name is written in heaven. And there's no, you know, that's a special thought to me, that there is, our name is written in heaven. There's no identity theft about that name when we're written in, when it's written in heaven. No one can take it. No one can steal your credit card number. No one can steal your identity because it's written in heaven. It also says in Hebrews 12 that there is, this world is going to shake. There's going to be things that shake and things that don't shake. And it says simply then, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. That's what our kingdom is that we can't see. So we have this kingdom, and it's going to go right on up into glory. Go from earth to glory, and every shaking, decaying thing is going to be left behind. We have the incorruptible Word of God today that tells us how to live. We have Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. He shed his blood for you. But more than anything else, I want to ask you this morning, is your name written in heaven? Do you have that unmistakable identity there in glory? In conclusion, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You know, we have a yearning heart here. We always want more. But David said there, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. You reach for that sore, it won't be there. You start walking in those arthritis prone bones, hurt when you walked, it'll be gone. It's a place where God shall wipe away all tears, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction worketh in us. I plead with you to let God have control of your moments. And if it's affliction, respond and choose glory.